I'm Karen Given, and I just can't help myself. Can we hear that buzzer beater one more time? That is, of course, Villanova beating North Carolina on Monday night in the men's NCAA tournament final. The University of Connecticut women topped Syracuse a day later. And championships might just be on our minds for this week's three stories you should know. My guests are Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald and Will Leach of Sports on Earth. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Well, hello.
Will, you're up first this week. What do you have for us?
So I was at that game. I was at the very awkwardly named NRG Stadium. And obviously the shot that Chris Jenkins made was amazing. But I have to say, I've actually found myself getting almost just as much enjoyment and definitely more repeat viewing from the shot of the Villanova Pavilion, the pavilion where Villanova plays, where a bunch of Villanova fans were all together to watch. And there's this wonderful moment where you see them all raise their hands because you realize, oh, there's Jenkins putting up the shot. And the shot goes through and everybody leaps and jumps and loses their mind. There's a video of Charles Barkley. He's jumping up and down. And it's Charles Barkley. So when Charles Barkley jumps up and down, you know, it's a formidable thing. This is where we are now. We're in a panopticon culture where we don't just watch the games. We later want to watch you watch the games and have people watch us watch the games. And the scary thing is, I'm finding it just as enjoyable.
The reactions that you're talking about from the players and from the fans, I just don't see that as much with professional sports. And I've covered both. I've been an NFL beat writer. I've covered the Pistons in the NBA Finals when I worked in Detroit. And to me, the joy is not quite as pure as it is in college sports. I just love March Madness. I love the NCAA tournament when those little tiny teams win and their 100 fans that are there go crazy. And I just think it's the best sporting event in America.
Well, I want to talk about one more reaction that we haven't mentioned that I loved, which is Raleigh Massimino. Will, you've called him the guy on television crying after the shot. And I love happy crying. I'm a huge fan of happy crying. And while the actual coach is just kind of walking down the sidelines, not sure that the game is over, the coach from 1985 knows that he's seen something beautiful. And that was great.
I love that. And to me, that's almost the sad part of it, is Raleigh Massimino is this great coach who coached this incredible team that up until Monday was known, his place was locked in history as Villanova's greatest coach who took them this incredible championship. And now in this meme culture, the way that the best basketball player in history is known as the crying Jordan meme, Raleigh Massimino is now the guy who was crying after Chris Jenkins' shot and will probably be so forever.
All right, Michelle, you're up next. What story do you think we should know this week?
Well, there was a major revelation at the Miami Open tennis tournament last week. And I've been a tennis writer for a long time, and I fully admit that I didn't know this. Men and women use different tennis balls at most tournaments. I had no idea. And I've covered multiple Wimbledons and U.S. Opens and French Open, and I've covered down here in Key Biscayne for 20 years. I had no idea. The size of the ball is the same. The pressure of the ball is the same. But the fuzz, and I don't want to sound weird here, but the fuzz on the balls, on the men's has much more fuzz, and the women's ball does not. It's very light. And the reason is the women's tour wants the ball to be livelier. And the ball that the women use is livelier, and the men's ball is a little bit heavier and doesn't travel as quick and as fast. The reason it came out is because Andy Murray was about to serve, and he calls for some balls, and the kid throws them, and he looks at one, and he realized it was a women's ball, and he had a tantrum.
First off, Andy Murray needs to settle down. Equipment is important in a lot of ways, but yeah, seriously, easy there. And, you know, to me, this is frankly another reason that the women's game is so much more entertaining to watch than the men's game, because power has become such a large part of the men's game and had been for so long. I understand that one of the reasons they put the extra fuzz on there is to slow down the ball because it was becoming ace.
Yeah, it was just becoming a serving contest. And you know, another ball issue is in basketball, the women's basketball is 1 inch smaller than the men's basketball. And there was much debate about that because a lot of people felt, hey, if women want equal rights and equal pay and all these things, they should play with the same equipment. But women's hands are 99% of the time smaller. And so the ball handling is better if the ball is just 1 inch smaller.
Are either of you questioning whether you really wanted to know this, or not whether I wanted to know this, but whether I want the sexist jerks out there to know this? Because the WNBA ball being smaller is always this thing brought up as like, oh, well, that's why you shouldn't watch the women's game because they use a smaller ball. The women's tennis game is often more entertaining to watch than the men's game. And I don't want the idiots to start saying, yeah, but they don't use the same ball.
The thing is, the jerks that hate women's tennis are going to hate women's tennis anyway. I don't think
it
makes a difference.
So my story this week comes from the New York Times Magazine. It's a piece by J. Caspian Kang. It's called The Unbearable Whiteness of Baseball. So Kang builds a really interesting argument here. He points out that in 1981, more than 50% of major league ball players were black. Now it's just over 8%. And I know what you're thinking. What about the Latino players? It's not like it's all white guys out there. And Kang says that baseball hasn't really embraced Latino players, that the only time the league really embraces them is when they have to, because they're about to go into the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily can judge all of the arguments that Kang brings up here. He experiences the world differently than I do. You could say that of any two people. But I do really appreciate the questions that he's bringing up. Questions like, has the loss of black players in baseball fundamentally changed the game in some way that is for the worse? Has Major League Baseball failed to embrace Latino players? And I'd take it even a bit further and ask, by finally hiring Spanish language translators and supporting youth baseball in inner cities, is Major League Baseball really trying to change, or is this all just a PR stunt? So, Will, I don't know if you have answers or if you're just going to be like me and answer questions with more questions.
I don't know anything, so I'm always going to answer things with questions. But, you know, baseball, like any major institution, it's an ocean liner. It's going to take a while to get turned around. And you see, I mean, this is a game where if you strike a guy out, you are encouraged to cover your face with your glove, lest you show that you're happy. I mean, you know, this is a game that has been a very buttoned-up game for a long time. And this is starting to change. And I think, you know, one of the wonderful things about watching the World Baseball Classic has been to see how different cultures than the white American culture celebrate in baseball. And frankly, it's really fun. It's a lot more enjoyable than what is generally allowed in Major League Baseball. And you're seeing that sneak into the game more and more. Listen, baseball is a game that often has felt almost too enraptured with its past and too kind of obsessed with what came before. I do think that's starting to change. I think under Rob Manfred, there has been more of an embrace of the new aspects of the game. I kind of like this friction that you're seeing in the game with this young talent kind of challenging the old guard. I would argue that's a good thing. And it's going to take a while, but I think there is progress being made.
Well, I happen to be Cuban. I happen to be Juban. My parents are Cuban and Jewish. So I'm speaking as a Juban person. I think the Latinization of baseball is actually a good thing for the exact reasons Will is saying. The Latin culture really embraces fun. And when you watch Latins play tennis, we just talked about tennis here at the Miami Open. One of the things all the players say who come to Miami to this tournament is that what makes it different from every other tournament in the world is the Hispanic fan base here in Miami and from Latin America that come to that tournament. They cheer and they make noise during tennis matches. And the tennis players like it. When we talk about color in baseball, 41% of the players are of color. The Latin culture, the fun embracing, the music, the just sort of exuberance for the game, it's spilling over into Major League Baseball, and I think it's a good thing.
You know, that's interesting that you bring up how much fun the fans have at tennis tournaments down there, because I will say one thing that I can judge is the color of the stands, at least here in Boston. And a lot of people look like me in those stands.
When you go watch down here, whether it's a baseball game, if you're watching a Marlins game or the Miami Open tennis, you're seeing every shade of brown.
Frankly, if you go to a Boston Celtics game, a lot of that crowd is white too. That's true about baseball, but I also think that's true about a lot of sports. And baseball is the one that typically is the one that has to answer to that, which is to me also a good thing about baseball. Listen, people that love baseball complaining about what's wrong with baseball is one of the best things about baseball. Like, that is one of the fundamental things about it. You know, people in the 60s, that supposedly great time of baseball, everyone was saying, oh, it wasn't like it was 20 years ago. Yeah, exactly. While there are clear changes that need to be made, and I think they are eventually made, I think baseball is a more evolving thing than it gets credit for. But I do think that there will always be a sense that the past was somehow better. And frankly, I would argue not only is baseball better than it's been, there are more people watching baseball than in any other time in human history. Like, they may not all be watching baseball at once. The game is doing quite well. It's just going through one of its natural shake everything out evolution periods. And at the end of the day, I think it's still going to be just fine.
And on that happy note, my guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald and Will Leach of Sports on Earth. Thanks to you both.
Thanks for having us.
An honor as always.